Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to talk about ways you can support your autistic child with day-to-day life.
What gave us the idea for this episode is I was contacted by a friend that I used to work with a few years ago, and she wanted some advice because her son is now going through the process of being diagnosed. And she was asking me for tips on how we handle day-to-day life, really, and how we support our son. And I reeled off a load of stuff, and it just got me thinking this would be a good thing to share.
Because you've been dealing with this now for a few years.
I think it's 4 years, probably, since we started getting help.
So we pick up tips that we can certainly share, things that work for us that are not obviously going to work for everybody, but they might give you a starting point, some things that you can try.
Definitely. So one of the big things for us is our son really struggles with transitions, particularly when he was younger and he wasn't able to voice his frustrations so well. It all came out in sort of behaviours instead of words. One of the things that was suggested to me was visual timetables and the use of timers. So when we're moving from one activity to another, say he's playing with his toys and then we need to go out, we put a timer on, and it's like this visual one. It's coloured and it counts down, so we can show him 20 minutes, because you can't really say to a 4 or 5 year old, you've got 20 minutes. That means nothing to them. They don't know what that means. So it's really good to see that visual counting down. And you can, when it gets closer, you can say, oh, look, we've only got a few minutes left. And we found that really helped reduce anxiety when we're trying to move on to something else. With the visual timetables, it's just like a laminated piece of paper, really, that we use. And you can stick lots of pictures on it. So you can say breakfast, games, TV, then we're going to go in the car, then we're going to go to the park, then we're going to go in the car and go home. And you can break down their day. We don't tend to use that every day now, but we do use it during the holidays, because that is one of the times where our son really struggles. He'd much prefer to go to school all year round.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure his teachers would be very happy about.
No, and we don't have that. Mine is quite glad when it's the holidays. But we also use the timer that you talked about. It's just, I think we have the same one, don't we? It's not expensive, off Amazon. I'll see if we can find it and put a link. Because I find, so my son, he doesn't struggle in quite the same way, but sometimes if there's something that he needs to do, like shower, it can be helpful to say to him, to give him a choice, like, you can either shower now or you can shower later, you choose, and just to make that basic choice so he doesn't feel he has no choice in the matter of something that's hard. And then if we've agreed the time, I find it really useful to set that timer. I don't know why it works, but say he says, nope, I want to shower at 4 o'clock or something. So if I set that timer, which goes up to an hour, but if I set that, say he's gaming and I put it in front of him and he can see all the time that time ticking down, he's going to find that transition much easier because he knows that's coming up and he knows, and he'll go and get in the shower. He's slightly older, he's 10. So I don't know if that makes a difference, but we find that a really useful tool for so many things, that little timer counting down.
I'm only guessing here, but I think it takes away a sort of surprise element to them. If you suddenly announce, okay, it's time to go, they're like, what? Where's that come from? Because I don't know about you, but my son doesn't always hear what we're saying all the time. So we can say, oh, we're going out later, and it might go completely over his head. But if you put a timer in front of him, it concentrates his mind, which makes it easier for him.
I think that's a good tip.
So those are the two things with transitions. Other things that we struggle with can be clothing or layers of clothing. We've realized this has taken quite a long time to understand that it is actually layers upon layers. I think it's the different materials rubbing together. He does not like that. Like, he won't wear pajamas in bed because he doesn't like the feel of pajamas with a duvet on top. So he's usually only wear one layer, doesn't like to wear jumpers. So wintertime can be tricky because I think also there's a temperature element there as well. I don't think he necessarily realizes when it's cold. He has to be reminded to wear a coat and things like that. So we deal with that by looking for really soft fabrics, looking for things that don't have too many seams or labels, that kind of thing.
Slightly different, but I was talking to a lady from CAMS recently, and she sent me a link to a website where they produce seamless clothing. I don't know if you've tried any of those, but we could add that to the show notes as well because that might be useful. My son is more sensitive to the cold, he feels the cold, but in the same way, he does go for the soft materials. He's much more comfortable in. He likes a really soft dressing gown, for example, or he has things like fleece-lined jogging bottoms for the school that he goes to because it's on a farm, so he's outside quite a lot. But he needs to be warm. If he's not warm, he'd rather be too warm than cold, because if he's cold, he starts to not want
Get
to,
dysregulated.
get dysregulated if he's cold. So it's more about bundling him up, and he really likes soft pajamas. So the fleecier, the better with most things. What I notice is if he's particularly anxious, clothes are the first thing that go. If he's at home, for example, say he's had a day that he's found challenging, he's dysregulated, he wants to take them all off and sit under a fluffy blanket.
Yeah, we have that too. Just taking everything off, sitting around in his pants.
I did negotiate for boxer shorts many years ago. I was like, the boxer shorts, they have to stay.
I know it could be a freezing cold day, but whatever they need. Another thing is teeth cleaning, and I think you might struggle with this too. So our son finds it really difficult to clean his teeth. He just hates it, hates the whole sensation. We have been through so many different toothpastes. You can get ones that aren't flavoured at all. You try different ones that aren't supposed to foam. We've settled on he will now use minty toothpaste like us, but he does have two special toothbrushes. So one of the ones we've got is this, like a U shape. Our son
Those.
tends to use that in the morning with nothing on it. I give it a rinse under water, but no toothpaste. And he just does it a quick scrub and that's it. And then we're like, okay, that'll do for today. In the evening, he has a three angled brush. So you basically just have to go over the teeth just once to hit all the sides. And that he uses with toothpaste. And we found that brilliant because it just is quick and it is effective at brushing because it is a proper brush. He usually likes us to brush his teeth for him. He doesn't like to do it himself. He occasionally will try. That's something we'll work on. But yeah, those things have helped.
Yeah, we have real struggles around toothbrushing. It's that, I think it's the brush, the bristles, the brush, it going in your mouth. I have to allow half an hour, I would say, usually. Not that it always takes that long, but it can do to work up to being able to brush the teeth. And we did use the U-Bend toothbrush, but in the summer, my son needed a filling on his adult tooth, of which he doesn't have that many. And that in itself was quite traumatic for him. And the dentist suggested to him that if he could tolerate an electric toothbrush, that would be so much better, as he was getting quite worried, 10, if it was quite a deep filling. We do that in the evening. He doesn't brush his teeth in the morning, to be honest. He has it in his head that it's a once a day thing. And that's quite hard to work around. And also a lot of anxiety in the morning about going into school.
It's all about picking your battles.
So we brush before bed, but actually, as I say, it can take a long time to work up to with those anxieties, and everything has to be perfect. He has to be in the right position. Everything needs to be as he needs it to do it. And I do it for him. He can't contemplate doing it himself. at the moment, so I brush around them. They are looking so much better though than they were.
It's just finding ways to support them and working with them, isn't
Where
it?
even if it's gone the day before, it doesn't mean that it will the next day. He doesn't think, okay, it doesn't seem to be like, oh, that's getting easier. It's still, it depends on how he's feeling on that day at that time. If the rest of the day is going well, then it's going to be easier. If it's been a trickier day, then the toothbrushing is going to be that thing that is too much.
Hopefully that helps. Visiting places is another thing. If we're going for a day out, we try to plan as much as we can ahead. So that's researching if we can jump queues, if it's like a theme park type thing. Sometimes you can get passes, so you can skip queues or go in at a shorter queue. What other things do we plan? Take lots of food with us that we know that he likes, because he can be quite picky about what food he eats. Noise, if it's going to be a noisy place, take ear defenders or earbuds.
My son started off wearing them at school, and I do wonder if he got self-conscious about it. So he would bring a phone with music and headphones because he didn't want to wear ear defenders. He hasn't used that too much in recent months, but for a while, that was absolutely key. Music gives another focus as well. And it was something that the autism specialist that he worked with at first school suggested to try music. And music of his choice, because actually there was some debate because that at the time was going to be used to help him access the classroom, and that's how they would be moved out of that. And the school actually questioned, did it need to be calming music? And the autism specialist said, no, it needs to be whatever he wants it to be. If that's heavy metal, whatever he is interested in, whatever's going to make
Yeah,
him feel
definitely.
better. And so we did use that for a while. We tend to take a kit around with us, with all different options of headphones and earbuds so that we're prepared. But like you, we always need food. He has a limited number of safe foods anyway. So always have those with us, because if he's going to get hungry, that's going to make any anxiety around going out even worse. And last year, when we went on holiday, it was the autism specialist who said, make sure he's well prepared. So we actually had an itinerary for every day we were there. So no room for spontaneity at all. We booked the trips in advance. We took photographs of the website of what we booked, and we put the timings. He really needs to know the timings. So if the trip is 9 till 3 and then you're going to be back at this, there was one day when he woke up in the morning and he just wasn't able to get out of bed. He was like, I can't today, I can't today. And the anxiety was really high. And so I got, this is what today looks like. Turned to the right page, saw the picture, we went through it. This is what we're doing. This is when we're eating. This is all that. And then he went, okay, I can eat my breakfast now. And then he was able to move forward. So I think is you shouldn't underestimate how useful those tools are, even though they take time.
They seem so simple, don't they? Just a few pictures, but I really do think they make such a big difference when they can see it all mapped out like that. I don't know, it helps calm.
Definitely.
The other thing is sunflower lanyards. So either your child wears them or you do, just to your visiting places, because it is something they look for. And then could give you assistance if you need it.
Yeah, we found that really helpful again when we were traveling at the airports. Both ends, actually, it got recognised and we didn't have to queue so long because it's a very challenging environment in an airport for a lot of children. We were taken to a quieter space and moved through quicker. I keep it in the kit that I mentioned, keep it in the bag.
We both have a bag for our children with fidget toys and snacks and the sun lanyards.
Yeah, if my son, if he's feeling really anxious, he almost wants to disappear. So if things are really bad, we have one of those in there. We also keep those COVID masks. He's got very sensitive smell. And you know, we've arrived at a restaurant before, Pizza Hut. It was someone's birthday, so he'd managed that, and then they were going to have pizzas, which to my son is just appalling. He hates pizzas, but he really wanted to go. As we walked through the doors, I remember him like recoiling, going, "Ah, oh, it smells so bad. I can't go in. I can't go in." So in the bag, we have the balaclava just with eye holes, but it covered the nose. I also keep in things that smell. so that he can sniff something different. So I've got an orange oil, also a tiger balm in there. So they're different things that he can use just to mask other smells. So they're very key in our bag. But I think, again, it was when we did the early birds course that's run by the Autistic Society. That was one of the things the trainer recommended, just having a bag ready to go. And I find that he also has this sense of security in having his red bag with him. And I know that most things that we could need are going to be in that bag. Along with rescue remedy that the gummies, he finds them helpful in stressful situations or if he's getting overwhelmed.
We have the stretchy bands because our son really likes that feedback. He likes to hit, and these can be quite good if he's just sitting in a car or something getting frustrated.
Hope these tips have been useful. We will add links to the show notes to some of the items in case they're useful. Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast.
We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you're not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.